The world's more interesting with you in it.
So you take care now to extend me the same courtesy.
You know I can't make that promise.
I do wish we could chat longer, but I'm having an old friend for dinner. Bye.
Guess who's coming to dinner? Mother made him a winner. Ongoing disease to conquer the seven seas. On occasion, I got overactive imagination. Cause real talent's a curse, and the curse is a real blessing. If you ain't seen it when you see it, you'll know when you heard it. Many looking on, if I recall, real nervous. The best don't exist to me, all made of a history. History's just a mystery, listed in human chemistry. Library directories obsolete and deleted. Ego-driven elitist, you ain't gonna believe this. Hooking up with Diamond Ramon, it's time to eat with a blessing. The grace of table of rhymes without the beef.
I eat tracks, the kicks, and high as a meat. I eat tracks, the kicks, and high as a meat. I eat tracks, the kicks, and high as a meat. I eat tracks, the kicks, and high as a meat.
Good people, Vizine 83 on the road, on the go. I'm in Philadelphia. I'm back home after Rhode Island and Texas. Out in Rhode Island, I met my man, Dev, which was very interesting because my man was a schizophrenic. He was dealing with psychosis, and it was really a good experience because it proved that art and dance helps people cope with their situations, and he was very enlightened by what I was showing him and enough to open up to me on a podcast about his problems. So back to the real thing, the real deal, Holyfield on the flow is right here, right now. Box one. Give it up to Box one, y'all. Give it up to Box. That's going to be loud as hell. But it's all good. What's up, Box?
Yeah, I make you love me. Fucking fame.
Yeah, man. So what it look like? Where you coming from, man?
Came from, just to run off the list, I started in Denmark. Oh, it's going to be loud, too. I went to Denmark, went to Sweden, Spain, shot Switzerland for a night. Woke up in the morning, went to Amsterdam, Rotterdam, Hague, flew back to Switzerland. Damn. Was there, kicked it for like a week. Flew over to London and went to Derby and came back to London. Damn. And now I'm home and I ain't been sleeping right since.
That's crazy, man. That's talking about on the go, man. Jesus Christ.
Fighting a good fight.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, man. Especially while you're young. Get it in now because you're going to slow down and you got to figure out how to make all of that stuff worthwhile.
Yeah.
No, that's dope, man. So listen, man, you come from a very, what I like to call genuine background. You know, this, I always tell people that breaking is a street game, and you can't deny that. Whatever you come from, wherever your background is, you bring that into the form. So the movement takes on this aggressiveness. It takes on this real street mentality of I got to make it happen. It's survival of the illest, right? And I'm hungry. And you put all of that into the dance, into the move, and it has taken on this thing about being aggressive. And I think what you bring to the floor is exactly that, man. Where does that come from? Like, how did you grow up in coming up?
So I'm originally from West Philly, from 61st Street, 61st and Chestnut. I was born on 52nd Street, but you know, you got to represent your numbers correctly.
And we in Philly, by the way.
Yeah, Philly. So do your research on West Philly. Anything past 52nd Street is somewhere you don't want to be. If you don't live there, if you don't know somebody there, you ain't got no reason to go there. Stay out the way. Mm-hmm. I just came up in, like Meek Mills would say, like came up in ruthless environments, you know. You know, for fun, we was robbing people. I was robbing people 14, you know, playing with guns, punching people in their face, like saying, yo, we gonna hit 13 people tonight. Ah, I bet you I hit 14.
Damn. Like,
you know, so there's that energy, but then there's also like just like the pain of like growing up without stuff. And then like, you know, I raised myself from a young age. So it's just doing that and just having to be self-sufficient. It's kind of like you said, it's like survival of the illest. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm either going to take it from you or I'm not going to have it. So mm-hmm. I'm about to take what you got. And mm-hmm. if it's on the table, like you're not getting to that table first.
Yeah, and I think what you bring to the floor, man, really looks like that because you go out there and get it. There's no half-ass, and it's like right off the line, man. You just hit it. There's no, you know, most cats go out there, they'll walk in a circle before they throw anything down. And I don't, you may have done that, but I've never seen you do that. You just go right from the line. to the field, and it's a wrap. Like, you, there's no in between. Once the trigger's pulled, the bullet's out and shit. And it's good to see that. And I haven't seen that in a long time, man. There's very few breakers that really, you know, get me excited. And you being one of them. So are you part of a crew?
Yes, sir. Illa Del Flav, longest running B-boy crew in Philly.
Illa Del Flav. Who the fuck is in Illa Del Flav?
Illa Del Flav. Hussein Money, Epic Flav, Flitz, Riot the Virus, Joe Stun, my teacher, the number one stunner, myself, Box One, got Commander Ray, aka Death Ray, aka Ray Against the Machine.
Mm.
Got my five, the young up and coming dude, aka Blizzard.
Mm.
We got Young Wizard, aka Old Dirty Wizard. Got the young phenom Rome One. He's like the golden child. He's the youngest of the pack right now.
Mm.
We just put two new members down yesterday, Blaze and Melvin.
Yeah.
We gotta get Melvin a cool name. We don't know what he's gonna call him yet. We gonna work on it this week, Melvin. He was like, yeah, we got Blaze and Melvin.
Melvin. My man's name is Melvin.
Melvin. But nah, the rest of the OGs, we got Crafty. You know what I'm saying? Who else I gotta mention before they try to stab me? Vince from Movemakers, he Flav.
Yo, is Amra part of Flav with Cruz?
Yeah, that was Flitz, yeah.
Okay, you didn't. Okay, yeah. I hated that name. I swear to God, I did not want to call him Flitz, man. I just
Turbo.
Nah, I hated that name. But he wanted Turbo. He wanted Turbo for a long time, man. And I was like, that's dumb, too. I thought he should call himself Amun-Ra. I really did.
Amun-Ra,
man, because his name was Amra. And I was like, yo, that's God, homie. Amun-Ra. Keep it. But anyway.
I should know.
So it's just Flitz.
I miss mad names.
Oh, man. It's all water. Good, man. It's all good. You know, Philly brings a very interesting thing to the game. I don't think they've ever been, you know, a hungry crew to reckon with outside of, not a hungry crew, but I've never got this sense of hunger from any breakers in Philadelphia after the 80s squad, or when Hussein and Flitz and them were really in the thing. After that, I don't know what happened, because there was a time when it was really strong here, and then it just faded away. I remember going to jams and shit, and I'd be bored. And this was probably in the late 90s. And I would take Hussein with me, or I'd see him somewhere, and I'd say, Hussein, go ahead and set it off. And that brother had no problem hopping in the circle and putting people on fire, man.
And then
I was like, cool. And I'd follow right behind him. And that was the thing. And Adrian was another one.
Yeah, I know.
I can't remember the name of that crew. What was the name of that crew he was in?
Original Kicks.
Okay, yeah. It was a bunch of them too, man. Raul. Damn, I can't remember their names. Anyway, yeah. It was cats like that that I would look to, like, start something, and then we would just go in. And then I missed it. A lot of it I missed because I was on the road, and then I come back, and my body just wasn't right, man. So I missed a lot of the battle energy. And even battling myself, I kind of had to, like, dip away from that. I just couldn't mentally and physically, I couldn't handle it after being on the road for so long, man. And I never got out of that. What else, man? What are you going to talk about, man? What else? We just finished the Serial thing. The interview over Bowls of Cereal, my new thing and stuff. You check that on Instagram, Vizen83 and Box
One. BoxOne, BOXWON Instagram.
It's on there. You can check that out. So what are you doing now? Like, we had a conversation earlier, man, right before all of this started, and you were talking about getting your business together and branding and going into a new space and being able to survive and make a living, man, and have something to look forward to after the whole battle thing. And a lot of times I don't get to have those kind of intelligent conversations with young dancers because they can't see past the fucking circle, man. Yeah, like, literally.
For sure.
And so now you're in a place where you're starting to really get a feel for, I love what I'm doing and I like this, but I got to figure out how to make this something else now. So what are some of the things that's in your head? Like, what are you doing? What are you thinking about doing?
So right now I'm working on a pilot program with Philadelphia Parks Alliance. You know, there's a school on 9th and Germantown. So basically what it is like after the school was done, like, the staff, they all leave the building, the students leave the building, and then, like, the last floor, there's, like, four classrooms that are open to the community. So they're looking to do a pilot program where they're bringing in just, like, some programming and things like that for kids in the neighborhood to take advantage of. So I'm definitely trying to get Bread to Burn in there, which is my company. You can check that out at www.breadtoburn.com. You know, we got merchandise. We got an explanation of what programs we offer, things like that, a little bit of background on myself. If you want a more in-detail story about myself, you can go to box1.me, www.box1.me. But, yeah, just I want to get the program established in there because I'm trying to get into the Philadelphia school system and get breaking to a point where the same way they have basketball teams or they have lacrosse teams or they might have band and, you know, these kids get instruments, things like that. I want to have an organized breaking circuit for these kids in the city. Dope. You know, once I have that set up, you know, I would like to throw a culmination event. You know, we bring 16 teams from 16 schools, you get what I'm saying? Bring them together, the winning team, we take them overseas, we get them out of the city for a little while, you know, maybe 2 weeks, we set up an exhibition battle like the Philly All-Stars versus the Swiss All-Stars. You know, I got a lot of ties in Switzerland to a lot of schools, things like that. So, you know, just give these kids the same opportunity that I got that changed my life, you know. That's kind of, I always, like, tried to recreate whatever I felt at heart.
Yeah.
You know, at heart, I left the country, changed my life. I've been leaving the country ever since. Dope. You know, changed my life, changed my perspective, so. If it was just that one thing that could happen for me to change it for me, then imagine what I could do to 8 kids at once.
Yeah, yeah, that's incredible, man. That's a good vision. I did some stuff in the prison. I'd never been in a prison before, youth prison, with what I do, right? So when I was in Minnesota a couple months ago, I went to a youth facility out there. Me and my man Rick Rockin', shout out to Rick Stuntman,
the illest.
Yeah, man, he's a funny cat. So we went out there, it was just me and him, and I thought I could handle it by myself. I'm glad I took him, and we probably could have took someone else with us because...
Call me.
When, when we went, I was okay, and then when the program started, I couldn't get it together, man. I couldn't even talk. I was crying and shit, like I couldn't focus on what I came to do because my mind was in a place of I could have been there. You know what I mean? Like yeah. that could have been me at one point in my life on the other side of this fucking life, and I would not be able to talk to these kids. Mm-hmm. Right? And so my man
decisions.
Yeah, man, and one of the kids asked a question like, how do you deal with anger? And then I immediately couldn't talk no more, and it was silence for 5 minutes because every time I tried to say something, I choked, man. And I eventually had to, like, really calm down, and I apologized to him and shit. Some other people were crying. I was like, yo, can I get some tissue? And then after that, I kind of calmed down. I started talking, man. But real life kicked in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And similar to you, this thing saved my life, man. And it didn't. I didn't realize that until I had the conversation with them kids.
That's crazy.
And and I saw a different kind of spectrum and a purpose for what it is that I do.
Work.
Right. Exactly. And yeah, man. And then I go to this Rhode Island. I mean, Rhode Island. And I run into my man, who's psychotic. He deals with mental illness, and the same thing happened. No, I'm not crazy, but some people think I am. But
Raph crazy, it's y'all. Raph crazy. He like a super villain.
It's the dance. The dance puts me in a place where I can focus on something and be creative and get rid of all the negative stuff and anything where I want to be destructive or... You know, it just puts people in a place to be creative. And I think it's a very important what you're talking about doing with the kids, for the kids, for the future of the dance itself, because it's not always about the battle. Life is a battle itself, no pun intended. But then to go through life's battles and then having to deal with this battle mentality as a dance, you can't be an adult because there's going to be problems. You're going to continue that battle with real life. More real life stuff as an adult, and so some things should not be allowed to transfer. You understand?
Yeah.
Because it keeps you in a childlike state. This is my thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so now, when you look at a lot of the adults now, even guys who are older than me, they have this childlike mentality, and it's all mine, and I have to represent, and it ain't true, and all. When
keeping it real,
yeah, man, and realistically, we can't afford to do that no more.
At all. And no. We get mad at corporations for seeing the value in what we do, when we can't even get past that simple step that you're just talking about to like work together and like produce things on our own.
Yeah.
So then when other people see the value, they're like, oh, yo, that's dope. We can do this with that. All right, so here's some money. And then we're going to get this back.
Yeah.
Instead of us being like, yo, let's get this money together. Let's do that. And then we're going to just keep moving forward. We're going to get to the next step, you know?
Yeah. And I try to get people to see, especially dancers, because that's what I do, man. And I try to get people to see that if someone gives you, if you need money for a project, and I'm talking corporation stuff and what's happening now, right? I'll get to that point, but excuse me. If you need money for a project and someone gives you, you need 10 grand. Someone gives you 10 grand, right? What do you do with the money? You blow it. Why? Because you spent it on the project you said you needed for. And then what happens? You need another 10 grand for another project. You need more. No one teaches you how to flip that money, right? So when you don't get what you need, again, you can survive for a moment until you get it.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Mm. So it's if you have a project and you need 10 grand, you don't spend the whole 10 grand on the project. You partner a third. You partner with someone who can give you more money for what you need for that project. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. And so you start building partners. And so by the time you're done, you have the money it needs. You have the amount of money you need for the project to sustain itself. And then when it's over with, you still have money until the next project comes. Mm. Or until the next thing you want to do comes and you raise money for that. So I say that because you go to these jams, you enter the, whatever it is, you enter the battle, you might win, right? Mm-hmm. What do you win?
Maybe $1,000.
You win $1,000. Immediately you buy something for yourself, right? If you got bills. yeah. Right? So how can we take, even as small as that, how can we take that little bit of money and put it into something that will double it or triple it or add on to that, so the next battle we get to, we add that and the pot begins to grow? That's the kind of shit that I want to be able to help people figure out. So you understand?
I would say, like, and someone in my shoes, what I would do is I would take that. Say I won $1,000. I would take $250 to $300 of that, and I'd buy a ticket to Europe.
Right.
Because I know if I get to Europe,
right,
they're going to fly me from
country
to country.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
You see what I'm saying?
That's what I'm talking about.
$2,000 and come home.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of stuff that's important. So when you get to but you know, at the same time, it's only, that can only happen now because you weren't getting that kind of money at one point in a battle. So
true.
Things changed.
And you'd be upset that they're getting more money.
Yeah, and that's okay. That's okay. Why are you upset?
No, I said people be upset.
Oh, no, that's upset. What I'm like, no, I'm not saying you. I'm just saying, like, why are they upset?
Because we ain't keeping it real.
Let it move forward. Fuck that, man. Fuck that. You know why? Because everybody was bitching that rap, I mean, that breaking was not on the same level as rap. Mm-hmm. Now the money starts to come. And now you bitching that there's too much money, there's too much corporate stuff going on, that's changing the game. That's okay. It's only changing that game. Mm-hmm. If you don't want nothing to do with it, you don't have to have anything to do with it.
It's enough lanes.
You have a choice. You understand? There's a choice. I don't like it sometimes, but I support it because I need to know what the fuck's going on. Mm-hmm. That's where I came from. I'm not going to abandon it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I have to stay present in some kind of way because I want to see what they're doing and how I can take that, apply what I know, move forward into another school or university, meet people who are now taking, and this is some trippy shit. I meet people now who used to battle or want to battle who go to school for dance, but there's no breaking in the school. Mm. So they're taking ballet and modern classes as breakers.
because that's considered a classically trained style.
Not only that, they don't have a choice to go to school for dance, for hip-hop dance. You understand what I'm saying? Mm. There's a hole. Mm. There's a hole there.
And then we need to fill it.
So now my job is to continue to go to these universities, see the gap, fill in the gap. Mm-hmm. And so now those dudes, for example, in Texas, I went to Texas. There were two breakers in the class who only came to school for dance because they wanted to dance. And they thought if they learned that, they could put it with breaking and move forward. When I came, they were like, well, damn, we never even figured that what you're doing is possible. Or if you were here when our 4 years was here, they were seniors. If y'all were here, if you was here, we would be somewhere else. We would be somewhere else mentally. And they would believe it. You understand? Mm-hmm. They would believe what's possible with breaking. So I have to stay, again, I have to stay present so I know what's going on, so I can communicate with the guys who decide to go to school for dance because there's no breaking. Mm-hmm. And so now I come in and go, yo, I can fix this. You understand? So now the universities hire me now because they see a hole. And that's where I fit in at.
Mm. I'm trying to fit in there, Raph.
Yeah, so I...
throw me
this turned into me. This wasn't supposed to turn to me anyway, man. I'm sorry. I got off track.
To Temple. You know they be hating me at Temple. Give me Drexel or UPenn. I live
Man. Listen, this is for everybody and anybody who's listening to this and they break, man. There's an opportunity for you to teach at universities if you can figure out how to have some kind of universality with the form. Mm. Right? It has to be universal. And that's...
By universal, you mean like uniform movement that's to be taught? Or?
No, that helps too. But no, okay. It has to be... You can go in and teach a history of the form or history of breaking the culture itself, mm-hmm. but you have to be able to teach it so it doesn't fuck them up. If you teach a freshman class, for example, mm-hmm. I feel like it has to go, they have to be in that class from freshman to senior. Mm-hmm. And so you have them and you get to watch them develop and develop mm-hmm. the curriculum that's... that they come out to be like, you guys are good in 4 years.
So a four-year curriculum.
Damn. Yeah, not overnight.
Damn.
You understand? That's the job, man. That's the job.
That's like... Damn, how many weeks?
That's the job. 52 weeks.
That's 52 weeks times four.
That's 52 Woo! Weeks.
That's like 208 weeks. Hey, I ain't got that many moves.
Yeah. But no, but it's a technique class. Because most of the shit that you're doing, you can't teach. It's exploration.
Yeah, that's true.
So then you teach the beginning class. Like you teach an intro to the class, which is like what I'm doing now with Princeton. It's the first time in breaking class. It's specifically breaking. Mm. Breaking, an introduction to breaking, deciphering its power. Then you get the understanding the foundation of the form, right? Then there is like the culmination of breaking's vocabulary. Then there is a contemporary approach to breaking forms. Then there is contemporary breaking or breaking in a contemporary space for theater. Then there's breaking composition for the concert stage. This is the trajectory that I see me going for the next fucking 15, 20 years as a breaker, homie. So yeah, I can't compete like I would like to. But as long as I practice, train, stay in shape, elevate myself, evolve into a new space, I'm in the universities, man, and I can make a hole. I can fill a hole with breaking in the dance departments there. That's how I see this thing happening.
I gotta get there.
You have it, man. You can do it, man. You can do it. I think what you're doing now, what you're talking about doing now is... That's the early stages of that, man.
Word.
That's the next level. I don't know how the hell we got on that from prison. Yeah, man, we was on youth facilities. Now we like 20 minutes in deep on education system and breaking. But listen, most of my stuff, we're going to have to do this again, man. Y'all can check out the serial joint we do on Instagram. But we'll serial do this again. We'll do this again at another time and you know, and see what happens, man. But I'm just trying to stay on top of things myself, man, and real life and give opportunities to people who are genuinely curious about moving forward in breaking. And if that's you or dance, period, in art, whatever, if that's you, hit me up on Vizine 83 on Instagram or RafaelXavier.org. And you know, keep in touch. I can help you get to another space in life as an artist, move forward, make some money, go to the grocery store and buy cereal by the pounds.
Lucky Charms, Almond Breeze, shout out for the bread, sponsors.
My man, Box One. Thank you, man. Be cool.
Peace.
Calling all artists, check me out, RafaelXavier.org or on Instagram at Vizine83. If you're looking to finance your work or find out a little bit more about how to take the next steps forward towards being a successful artist, residencies, resumes, bios, grants, and festivals, check me out. No more starving artists. Let's go from starving to striving, y'all. RafaelXavier.org. Check me out.
Good people, I'm just going to get right into it. I was in my bed minding my own business. I get a phone call from somebody I haven't heard from in a little while. Not that we don't communicate, but he's been in his own space trying to get himself together, and I admire that. I think a lot of us need to do that, to come to a realization that life is bigger than what we really think it is. So my man, my brother, Brian Newby, a.k.a. Hannibal, a.k.a. that boy you don't want to see in the hood, a.k.a. put the Dukes up. Let's get it in. Let's get it on. What's up, man? What it look like?
Everything's good.
You sure now?
Everything's good. Okay. We trying to turn everything green.
Okay. I can dig it, man. I'm with you on that. Yo, man, where you been at, man? I haven't seen you in a while, man. And none of the jams, you know, I barely go to jams myself. But the ones I do go to, I don't even see you, man. What's happening?
Well, everybody know, you know what I'm saying? I posted like, I think once or twice about, you know what I'm saying, I had got injured, but, you know what I'm saying, that was, you know, personal time, perspective time,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, I chose to not keep, you know, reaching out, you know, to the community, you know, let me fade away, let me die in a sense, and so, you know, I can create anew, so, that was just time to get some bring in some new perspectives, I would say.
I can dig it.
And then also,
dig it.
You know, move around some frontages. So some of my perspectives would change, right. You know, for the better.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? You know, just falling back.
Right, right. So, listen, you got a injury. What kind of injury was this?
Achilles injury.
From what?
Judging at a B-boy competition.
Well, I guess I'm beating around the bush then. What the hell are you doing? What do you do, man? You know, people know who you are, but for those who don't know who you are, if they're listening, what do you do? I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that, especially after the conversation we just had. You're a breaker, man. You're more than that, but you're a breaker. You're a popper. You throw down when you got to throw down when you need to, and you messed up your Achilles from doing that. How long were you breaking, man? How long you been in the whole game?
Going on, let me see, 313. Where we at? 313 and five more. Going on 15.
15 years?
Yeah.
15, that's what I'm talking about. You started out as a popper, right? Most people don't know that.
Mm-hmm. 97, started
right.
as a popper.
Right. And where'd you go from there? Somebody test you, like, I bet you can't do so-and-so, and you decided to just go ahead and hit the floor, and it turned into...
Yeah, they were talking about this thing that happened in West Philly, and that turned out to be the Gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go and, you know, see guys and throw down on the floor and all of that. And you know, one of my friends pointed out, hey, you know, like you would never be able to do none of that. And then that kind of, you know, I was still coming out of, you know, like being like with sports and all of that.
Yeah.
You know, just like competing and all that, doing gymnastics and all that. And so again, like you're just like, damn, see, I can't do something.
And you just did it.
Yeah, I start trying to.
And now look.
Right.
And now look. You influence a lot of people, man. People who dance, people who don't dance, just because of the way you move and your approach to the form, or, and just in life in general. But where does that come from, man? What makes you think the way you do? Especially at this point, we're not kids anymore, man. You're not a teenager no more. So, where's this come from?
I would just say it out honestly, and I hope the breaking community whatsoever don't take this as a slap in the face. I'm still, and I have always been, more drawn to things that have to make sense before they leave people's lips, or before they perform it.
Mm-hmm.
So debates, you know, number one, I love debates, you know, especially like political debates and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? You still have to be well spoken. You still got to know, you know, what you're talking about. I love things that have to do with art, history, and stuff like that. Fact findings, stuff like that. It's not even in comparison to, you know, how much I like that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Versus breaking. So breaking, mm-hmm, has never been, you know, my first love. It's been something that, you know, it's been more of a challenge, because it's one of those things, those rare things that you can encounter, but you always can say it never can be mastered.
Yeah. I agree with that, man. I agree with that. I'm still trying to figure out. I won't even say figure out. I'm still exploring a lot of different ways to move with my body as I get older, man. And I really like to dance. I've been breaking for a long time, mm-hmm, and I don't want to stop. So putting on jazz music or just nothing, mm-hmm, and just being able to move, man, helps me like kind of explore the possibilities of the continuation of the form.
Mm-hmm.
How the kids, man? On a personal note,
they good, man.
Yeah.
You know, I always call them extra legs.
How old are they now?
Three.
You got three, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
3, 11, 13.
Daggone, man. Mm-hmm. Any of them dancing?
Nope.
No?
I don't want them dancing.
Why not?
You
just want them to be in the street like you, go back to the original tradition of street.
Dude. No,
I'm just messing with you.
I want them to be a part of something that has an industry.
Hmm.
Something behind them, a union, if you will,
mm-hmm,
that is structured to protect something. Like, if you put this many years in, we can send you some type of financial compensation because you put this many years in.
Mm-hmm.
Reagan,
mm-hmm,
doesn't have anything built like that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm,
for that fact, I don't want them to put in years of breaking to do what the rest of the world is still doing and breaking,
mm-hmm,
is to get respect and street cred.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, and nothing more.
Yeah. Respect and street cred, and seeing the psychological effects it takes on a lot of these people, is almost a lose-lose for me.
Yeah, I hear you, man. And that's your flesh and blood, so I see you wanting the best for them. Do you think there will ever be a moment where the game changes and there'll be opportunities? There will be opportunities for them to pursue that, and then you go, okay, yeah, you guys can go ahead and get involved. Because, you know, you give a cat a basketball, you know what to do. Give him a football, baseball, any kind of ball, they know what to do. You put some shoes on, either somebody's going to run or walk. But ain't nobody, there's no reference to breaking in that way. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So if something changes, will you allow that to happen? Or do you even think that there's a possibility for change in the breaking world?
I think it's, at this point, based off what I see, no, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Breakers, for me, my opinion, and then just speaking of the facts, breakers are dumb.
Oh.
By the definition of, they do not love history.
Ooh.
They don't place breaking besides anything else to structure it.
Mm.
For the better. Not for the worse, not to compare it, but for the better. Breaking should be slapped alongside skateboarding and, like, figuring out ways to structure it. As a skateboarder, you know, when you turn pro, things like that, you have sponsors, you get endorsements and stuff like that, all of those things. No, it's not the fact that they can sell skateboards. It's not that. It's the fact that they understand that there's something, and the something is a product that can be built, and it still fits along the lines in the same way the NFL and NBA would work.
Mm-hmm.
You're a person that at the same time, you are a product as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And breaking, because people don't love, you know, the study of economy, the way things work, history, you know, all of those things that, you know, that so-called down got nothing to do with nothing and breaking. It has everything to do with everything and breaking if you want to advance it forward.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Breakers don't love those things.
Mm.
So for that fact, I say no. I don't see it changing for the better. I think breaking is going to be the way it is.
Yeah, so not even thinking about it as a commodity, but there's no, the understanding the science behind breaking to move forward is not what people are interested in doing.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah, I hear you, man. I hear you. Trust me. I believe that. So what are you doing now, man? I mean, you're not at the jams and stuff. You're slowly, you're healed now. I see you don't have the boot on, but I hate that damn boot. I hope I don't never have to wear that damn boot, man. Shit. Anyway, but you look like you're healed. You're moving around. What are you hiding for? You know what I mean? Like, let's call it hibernation. You're going into hibernation. Most people go into hibernation or cocoon. This cocoon space to come out developed into something, you know, more beautiful, man, and more powerful, right? So what's next for you? What's happening now with this hibernation you're going through?
I'm not going to spit everything out. I feel like people won't even understand that. If people not in those spaces to understand. But, breaking is about one aspect of, you know, what I've developed into basically Hannibal, I guess,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's this larger part called Brian Newby.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian Newby, as smart as he is, will not continue to be, I would say, doping myself into, you know, this pouring all I know into dance, that once again I go back to, you know, there's no industry in breaking. There's
mm-hmm.
nothing that really pays back into breaking,
mm-hmm.
so that it's like financially a great thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You do it because you love it, and that's it. You may get, you know, change back here and there,
right?
You know, and
right.
You know, great, that's great, but the percentages so small of the people who are actually making great money,
yeah,
that it's like you wouldn't even calculate it in,
right?
To like change your mind. So that brought me to nowadays, with a partner, we basically seek out new restaurants that's like, you know, opening,
yeah,
and the newer restaurants or the newer venues being built, basically. From the moment they open their doors, they're competing with already well-established restaurants or established restaurants mm-hmm. or established spaces. So we help them, you know, increase their volume of people, you know, coming
gotcha.
In.
Gotcha.
So that's one thing we do. And the other thing I do, I still like lecture, you know, to people. I consult with people and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know what I mean? Like, on top of, you know, the little work I did for Netflix and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
which was coming in from that, I went ahead and got me a whole 9 to 5, too.
Oh, say word. Mm-hmm. Say word. That's what I'm talking about. You making it happen for the future of the Hannibals. Huh? Hold on, wait. You have to whisper, man. Listen, this guy trying to whisper. This is a funny thing. This is called on the road, on the go. And I'm in my car. We on the road, we on the go. He asked me to take him to the Frankfurt Station, right? So
right.
I pull over what I
yeah,
thought
Frankfurt
was
Avenue.
The Frankfurt Station. Keep whispering. Keep on going. You got to keep on going. I'm saying, come on, man. This is live. Whatever happens, happens. Maybe all of it. And y'all going to hit some bumps and bruises and stuff mm-hmm. and people blowing horns. That's just part of the thing, man. I might leave it in there.
I hope one of these women don't knock on the window.
Even out here.
Y'all looking for a good time?
Well, All the drugs. This is the drug scene, man. The drug scene and the hooker riddle location. But they tried to redo it. They got the Sugar Shack down here.
Mm-hmm.
They got all these restaurants
boom,
and stuff
boom,
down here. But
the
they do the Boom Boom Room. Not to be confused with the Boom Room Studios over there. Shout out to the Boom Room. anyway, where we going, man? I passed Frankfurt. We on Frankfurt, right? So where's the station at?
We go this way.
We're going to make a right.
Yeah, we're going to make a right.
Okay.
We're going to go on the highway.
All right, we're going to go on the highway. I got off the highway. Okay, you just tell me where it is, man.
No, we never went on the highway.
No, I was going to go on the highway, man. That's why it's like I'm taking 95 and the traffic was messed up. You was like,
yeah.
Just go down Spring Garden. See,
yeah,
we would have been there already, though, if I, you know what I mean?
We've been sitting there.
Anyway.
Nah.
All right, so yeah, no, I feel you, man. I feel you on what you say. You just tell me where we going and we'll get there. These are usually short, but I'm going to cut this. I'm going to let y'all know I'm going to cut some of this so it's not a bunch of air and silent moments and dead time and stuff like that. But we're going to get right to it. I don't want to keep this on going for like an hour long because people ain't got, I'm doing hood stuff. They don't have the mental capacity, the patience to listen to anything over a certain amount of time. So I just try to keep them real short. But then anyway, we're down here and we are out here. Where's this? What's this considered, man? This is North Philly, but what's it considered?
Fishtown?
Yeah, Fishtown.
Old.
All
city,
kinds of stuff
like
there. Not Old City. Kensington area.
Yeah.
That is. And all of these stores, like this was like rundown buildings
mm-hmm.
and warehouses
mm-hmm.
stuff, man. It looks good down here now, man. They really did a job out this boy. You got the Milk Crate Cafe. Uh-oh, potholes. Got to be out. Be careful with the pothole. The pothole has been tearing my wheels up, man. I got 22-inch rims on my truck and low-profile tires, and they are not built for these roads. God, doggy. Anyway, where we at, man? Where we at? If you see that, you can put a grill on that. It'd be a barbecue pit right there. Where we going? The highway?
Yeah.
We got to get on the highway. All right. What other questions we got, man? I can cut all this out, but what other questions is there?
We could talk about anything. The Olympic stuff.
Oh, man. Yeah, okay. Okay, cool, right? So, listen. All this talk about the Olympics, including breaking now for 2024 in Paris, has got a lot of people with their heads in their ass, their nuts in their hand, the guns drawn, everything, man, the pants pulled down. Like, everybody is exposed all of a sudden about this breaking in the Olympics, and it's really getting people, it's showing people's true colors, man, and I think that's the first problem. when you have something like this, a major platform to get recognition or culture to be recognized as something different than it has been in the past, and everybody's rushing to put in their, you know, their opinions or two cents, so to have you, that's a problem, man. That's the first problem. There's already no community. There's no body. There's no, as they say, there's no governing body say who's doing what and how, and this is allowed, right? What are we doing, man? Like, what is happening with this thing, man? What do you think about all of that?
Do you think it's
ready for that, or do you think it should be there or not?
I do not think Breakin' is ready for that platform. Again, Breakin' is not in a good space as far as to being able to control what Breakin' is.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other end, say who, what, when, where, why Breakin' was even, you know, started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Breakin' didn't, you know, you can't trace it. You still got these dudes arguing about who started it, who did what with it, you know.
Yeah.
For all of the other things in the Olympics, they know exactly who, what, when, why, down to the city, what neighborhood,
yeah,
who did it, who did the move, who did that. And that, you know, what people might say, like, that's extreme. It's not so extreme when you're trying to find a foundation in something,
mm-hmm,
to build it up. So I use this thing, now. Something that has standards is grabbing something that doesn't have so good standards,
mm-hmm,
or like solid standards. So like I use the same thing with remember my buddies talk about rapping,
mm-hmm,
and I was saying the reason why rap took off. Rap took off. I think we should go that way.
You're probably right, but we just gonna go down here.
The reason why rap took off is because the thing that grabbed rap had standards. So the entertainment industry had standards.
Uh-huh.
Right? They were going through control of, like, what was popular, what wasn't, what was going to be on the radio waves, and the whole nine. And you still got people to this day talking about, you know, who doing what and who really making moves. None of these rappers out here really control distribution,
mm-hmm,
number one. Mm-hmm. Distribution is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the control of how much is going out.
Mm-hmm.
And then two, promotion and product and media and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
None of the rappers own none of that either.
Right.
So you don't own none of the media waves, and you don't own none of the distribution of it.
Right.
You don't have a lot of power in what you're doing, especially if you're talking about, you know, getting in, you know, the way that, you know, all of these other people are doing, like the Jay-Z's and stuff like that. They
mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If Sony or whoever doing what say, hey, we need this,
mm-hmm,
they got to do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, unless you're going to do all your stuff on Apple or whatever.
Right.
And do your own stuff.
Right.
In which that'll still put you in having more power than what they have over their stuff.
Yeah.
But you still understand that you putting your stuff on somebody else's platform.
Yeah.
So.
Indeed.
You know what I'm saying? Breakin' just never had a platform that anybody could stand on.
Interesting.
For me.
Interesting.
And but that's the facts right there, you know.
Like, I got you.
Dudes come in all the time in the events and look like they belong to some other practice.
And
none of the governing, so-called, supposed to be governing bodies say, you're not allowed yet until you look like what's going on in here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if we were poppers and we said, hey, you know, we want to, this is a form of ballet. They would not allow it.
Mm-hmm.
They will not allow it. Why? Because it does not look like ballet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's a firm standard on it. That's not going to happen. I hear you on that, but because there's so many people who are doing what they want to do, and it's like a free dance, and they're allowing that, I think that has cut off its nose, despite the face. You understand what I'm saying?
So now
it's a problem, but it's not a problem, and anyone is allowed into this game. And that is the thing that people are so excited about, this dance, is why everybody wants to come in, because it's allowing everybody to come in. But now when you put it on this platform, it's confusing to the naked eye or the layman, because now they're like, well, what is it? I don't know what it is. We're just scrambling. And then next thing you know, in 10 years from now, their kid who was sitting on the couch watching has now put themselves in contention for a position in the Olympics.
Right.
Right. So the culture, the study and all that stuff is now out the window. That's my opinion. Yeah. Right. A little bit of it anyway.
But no, but see, now here's where you spit out a couple facts, right? You said free, right?
Mm-hmm.
Free is another way of saying undefined.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So the fact that you can't properly define breaking, right? Me as a promoter, why would I want to put any money towards anything that you can't properly define?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the purpose of it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need to know the purpose of it, when and where, all of the history. I need that to be at least 70% complete, 80% complete before I put money towards it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just the way the world works. That's the way business works.
Right.
And then a lot of businesses, a lot of startups that even got that stuff all figured out, that still don't get the money.
Right, right, right.
So I don't, that's the way I look at, you know, what I do, what you do. You're not allowed in any school if you don't sound correct, if you don't have it together. It has to be in a certain way, shape, and form, and packaged up right for you to get in that space. And I think, again, you know, we all know, I'm not going to say we all know, because a lot of people don't look at things like this, but for the people who don't know, the Olympics were experiencing epic things that had to do with people watching.
Yeah, they dropped. The level, the attention dropped.
The ratings dropped.
Yeah.
Like, insane.
Right.
And,
right.
So, this was their attempt to get some new eyes upon it.
Yeah.
Which may work. We will see.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things you're competing with as well, man. You have social media was one thing. Kids not having a lot of the solid programs in the schools anymore. And so they weren't interested in the Olympics because they're realistically, they weren't Olympic material. They were about community, organized sports. I'd rather go play. Why? Because I don't know anybody in the Olympics. That's not my thing, right? It's like, if a kid grows up not believing that he can be an actor because he's never seen any black actors or just, you know, actors that he can relate to, I'm not interested in acting, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, if I don't see anything in my favor in the Olympics, or I'm not interested in any of that stuff, I'm not interested in watching. Most of the people I know who watch the Olympics are my age now, right? Because it was a thing we grew up on. Mm-hmm. But now, if you put this form, this youth form in the Olympics, we get all this attention back. I think that's what they're doing. I feel like that's what they're doing, and it's going to work for them. But we'll see, man. We'll see. I mean, there's a whole judging system. If the judging system from the B-boy world works, then you go with that. If not, it has to be a regulated a system for an official Olympics judging system that's going to change some perspective. The dance might just go out the window and everything starts looking like super explosive and dynamic. And then it cuts out. I'm not going to say it cut out the women, because they're strong. These women are getting strong, man, and impressive. But, you know, there's so much, man. There's so much. And I don't want to get too deep into that. We can do an Olympic conversation.
That's the thing by itself. Going back to earlier on in the pod that I just said. That's my proof on why I say, you know, a good portion of what people call themselves breakers are dumb because they don't want to get deep.
Mm-hmm.
When you get deep, that's when you figure
this
out all
guy
the
just
problems.
Called, this guy just called me dumb, y'all. Y'all believe that this fool?
No. You said, you said, you know what I'm saying, you could get deep.
Yeah.
You don't want to get
yeah,
deep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Most people can't get that.
Right, I understand.
I can't. I understand.
What you talking about, the race?
I didn't look at no race.
I understand.
The Olympics wasn't doing good.
Right.
I know that. They don't
right.
pay attention to nothing.
Right.
Nothing else that's surrounding it.
Right.
You know, I just did a lecture explaining how all the way around on why the, and how the NBA worked and how the NFL and the NBA is actually versing each other.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't really, you know, do anything in the season. So what they do was they try to start creating a lot of their storylines in their off season.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you got all of these big stories in the off season because that's the only room they got to grow.
Got you.
So it's like,
got you.
You okay. understand? I was in the class of 20.
Okay.
You think anybody raised their hand?
No.
I ain't know nothing no. about it.
No.
But again, the next couple times, people, you know, oh, yeah, I was watching ESPN. Yeah, I did start noticing that.
Yeah.
They got so many other storylines that don't got nothing to do with basketball.
Yeah.
It's about what the person is doing on the outside of basketball.
Yeah. People find the interest, the lives of the athlete or so more interesting than the actual athletic.
Exactly.
And I think that's what grows. I can't wait to see the little, what they call that little biopic they do on Breakers, man. I think that's going to be the most compelling story. And I'm interested in seeing, you know, how the whole thing unfolds. I'm definitely going to get a ticket. I'm going to go because it could be the first and last time this happens. I'm going to be up in that bad boy like Wimbledon right in the front row. You know what I mean? Eating carrot sticks and with my name on my shirt. Anyway. No, it's going. I think it's going to be a. I feel like it's going to be a thing that needs to happen to prove to people it was good or bad. So there's going to be a lot of "I told you so." That's it. Whether it's good or bad, whatever. Well, listen, man, we got to get to our destination, and I'm on the highway, but I don't know where I'm going on the highway. So I'm just going to cut this short for somebody to cut us off and cut our lives short.
Come on, man. I got to go to the fast this, man. Come on.
All right. Anyway, Fizzy, y'all me, Fizzy83. Check me out. Check me out on social media, man. RafaelXavier.org. Come on, man. Don't front. I see y'all on the other side. Easy.